I don't know about you. I found that incredibly moving when I first watched it and joined in with that group of Christians from right around the globe who were praising God together. We are in the Psalms at the moment in our Sunday services and working through a series that we've called Dangerous Poetry. And there is something a bit dangerous about the Psalms because they are incredibly real. They've been written by people that were absolutely honest with God about what was going on inside. And they express some emotions that sometimes we don't feel like we can express when we're in church or when we're praying. And so there is something dangerous about the honesty that that comes out of the Psalms in the way that we can relate to God. So in a couple of minutes, Astrid's going to be looking at Psalm 30 with us. And before that, Katie's going to read the psalm to us. But just before that, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you that you've put this poetry and these songs into the Bible to give us ways that we can express our feelings and our hopes and our fears and the ups and downs of life honestly to you. And I pray that you'd meet with us as we look at this psalm today. I pray that you would speak to us and enable us to go to a deeper place in our honesty with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So over to Katie.
Psalm 30, a song for the dedication of the temple. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I shall never be shaken. O Lord, when you favoured me, you made my mountain stand firm, but when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
A long time ago, in a town far away, I went to bed heavy-hearted. I was overwhelmed by the grief of a broken relationship. I curled up on my bed, sobbing loudly and uncontrollably, because my heart was shattered and my world was destroyed. My dreams were crushed, and pain-filled tears of disappointment just seemed unstoppable. Until I rolled over to my other side. And as I rolled over, my tears turned into a giggle and then laughter, which I couldn't stop, even though my bedroom window was open and I kept wondering what on earth my neighbours were going to think. My laughter continued. God was at work. And although there would still be plenty of tears to come, in that moment, the Holy Spirit was reaching into my sadness and into my pain and starting to heal me. God was there, turning my wailing into dancing, removing my sackcloth and clothing me with joy. And to this day, I remember that night like it was yesterday. And over the years, it's helped shape the way I see difficult seasons. That experience brought alive verse 5 of this psalm. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Out of our tears, God gives us a testimony to share. Out of our sadness, God gives us a story to tell. King David's tears and sadness birthed Psalm 30, a beautiful prayer of thanksgiving and a hope-filled song of praise. The psalm is headed for the dedication of the temple, but the temple wasn't built in David's time. It was built by David's son Solomon, so scholars have debated on what occasion the psalm was written for. David might have written it for when he moved into his palace, because temple literally translates as house. Alternatively, he could have written it when the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant was a gold-covered wooden chest which contained the stone tablets which had the Ten Commandments on them, and it was covered with a tent-like covering. This tabernacle was where God promised to dwell, and so it served as a mobile worship centre for the Israelites as they wandered around in the wilderness. But David moved the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem quite early on in his reign. So to me, this psalm has the feel of an older person looking back on the rich tapestry of life and remembering how the golden threads of God's presence and God's goodness and God's faithfulness have woven themselves through the good and the bad and the ugly events he's experienced. I suspect the psalm was written ahead of the temple being built, but in readiness for when it was completed. The occasion that this psalm was written for is less important than the message it brings us, but it gives us a context. For a man in a position of privilege, David was no stranger to misfortune and difficulty. Not only did King Saul's bouts of mental illness threaten David's life as a young man and end his friendship with Jonathan, who was like a brother to David, David was unlucky in love and in family life. His first wife, Micah, despised his enthusiastic love of God. He got another man's wife pregnant and lived with the guilt of Bathsheba's husband's blood on his hands. Of his 19 children, several died in battle and one in infancy. His sons Absalom and Abijah tried to overthrow him as king, and another of his sons raped their half-sister with ugly consequences. As a king, David had his fair share of enemies throughout his reign as well. On more than one occasion, he literally was on the run for his life, and once he even needed to feign madness to escape the Philistines. David understood what loss and betrayal and guilt and shame felt like. In this psalm, he talks about enemies gloating, being so poorly he thought he was dying, seasons when God seemed absent or angry with him, as well as times when he felt so confident and secure he didn't really need God for much. And yet in all of these life events, he didn't lose sight of God with him. A couple of weeks ago, I was having a really bad week. I was tired of meetings on Zoom, bored and fed up with what I was doing, and yet exhausted at the idea of having to do anything different or more. I was unmotivated, I was unproductive, and a bit disinterested in life. So knowing that we were going to be looking at this psalm today, I started to read it through and was immediately struck by David's opening and closing words, "I will." In verse 1, he says, "I will exalt you, Lord." And in verse 12, he closes saying, "Lord my God, I will praise you forever." And the power in these statements grabbed me. David chose a direction that his heart would be set towards, and even remembering painful events, he continued to hold to that course. His statement, "I will," is both an intention and a response. "I will" shows both determination and gratitude. "I will" is how David approaches God. And it got me thinking about how we might use power-filled "I will" kind of statements. One example which came to mind was the way we might use the words "I will never." Said with a smile, it can fill our lives with a plethora of memories, comfort and enjoyment when what we intend to remember is good. "I will never forget." But spoken through gritted teeth, the same words can keep us locked in a prison cell as we hold on to a wrong that's been done to us or a hurt we don't want to release. I will never. This psalm offers us an invitation to reflect and even change the direction of our heart towards God and towards others. It invites us to examine whether our intentional statements are set in a direction which enables freedom and growth. David's opening I will statement tells us he's going to exalt God. And exalting God is more than just saying thank you to God for being there. Exalting him means to rejoice in God enthusiastically, to find pleasure and joy in God eagerly. David is going to put some effort and activity into making his intentions actually happen. David is going to celebrate God energetically. Despite all of the challenges David lived through, his faith and his love and his enjoyment of God remains dynamically real and true. He didn't let his life events make him cynical. He didn't just go through the motions of doing God's stuff. He wanted his relationship with God to be vibrant and authentic, and he's going to work at it. It's so easy for our relationship with God and others to get stuck in a rut. We have to intentionally invest and apply effort to keep things fresh and alive. To make sense of the world we live in and our place within it, we have to reflect on the past. How we got to where we are today depends entirely on the past we've lived. It includes the circumstances we were born into. It includes the opportunities which have come our way. It includes the decisions we've taken which have aided or hindered our life. It also includes the way that we've embraced the things that we haven't been able to influence or change, however much we've tried, hoped for, or even prayed for. The philosopher Kierkegaard says life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. And so what lies ahead will in part depend on how we understand, how we continue to reflect on and respond to where we've come from. King David made loads of mistakes along the way. He also had a lot of odds stacked against him. But twice in the Bible, David is described as being a man after God's own heart. David managed to remember painful and shameful events in a way which drew God into his circumstances rather than shut God out. He included God rather than exclude him. Even in disasters and disappointments, David manages to find an open and wide-eyed wonder in God, and he chose to trust that God's favour would prevail even in treacherous situations, even when he was the one failing God. Even at his most sinful, David learned how to repent, leaning into rather than backing off from God. So how do we remember and reflect on and learn from the past? What about those failures and mistakes? Where is God in all of that? Even if it seemed when you reflect back on your past, God wasn't there, he is here now. And God is here and now, ready to heal, ready to restore, ready to reshape and reform who we are in Jesus. Our past shapes our present, and this psalm invites us to examine where we've come from and consider how that will impact on what lies ahead. Today we have an opportunity to reorientate the focus of our attention. Rather than obsess about what has been, we can look to God for recovery. I wonder, are you weeping over your past? And if so, might God want to bring you into a new season of rejoicing in him? And what are you wearing? The uncomfortable sackcloth of anger or sadness or unforgiveness or cynicism or boredom or regret or guilt or shame? I wonder today whether God might want to reclothe you with joy.
You see, out of our tears, God gives us a testimony to share. And out of our sadness, God gives us a story to tell. So what's your story to date? And what might your story be tomorrow? Let's pray together. I wonder this morning whether your past is interfering with your ability to rejoice in God with energy and with enthusiasm and with wide-eyed wonder. Has life knocked the stuffing out of your relationship with Him? Has it left you disillusioned or cynical or sceptical or disappointed? As we pray together, can I invite you to open your hands as a visible sign to the Holy Spirit, asking Him to reignite the love and the joy that you once had. Come, Holy Spirit, blow through those jaded areas of our lives and minds and fill us again. Is your past something you can't let go, can't move beyond, stopping you taking steps into the future because you're battered and bruised and hurt and held captive by memories which just won't go away? Can I invite you to raise a hand in a fist? And when you're ready, open it as to release your hurt and your pain and your shame. Holy Spirit, come as healer. Break the chains which hold us and set us free. Heal our memories and pour hope into our hearts. Release us to a new experience of peace and joy and hope for what lies ahead in you. I wonder whether you have a story, but you're afraid to share because you fear what people would think of you. Touch your mouth as a sign that you want God to free you from fear and make you bold to share what your loving God has done for you. Holy Spirit, come and release us to share our story. Release us to rejoice enthusiastically in you. Give us courage to speak of the amazing ways that you've met us in our tears and in our sadness. Set us free, Lord, to speak of you as the one who has always been there and is redeeming and changing our lives. Chris and Karis are going to introduce us to a new song in a few moments, and our invitation in this song is to come and stand before our Maker, full of wonder, full of fear, to come behold his power and glory, yet with confidence draw near. For the one who holds the heavens and commands the stars above is the God who bends to bless us with an unrelenting love. The chorus says, rejoice, come and lift your hands. Raise your voice, he's worthy of our praise. Is your past getting in the way of you being able to rejoice in God? Let's use our time of worship now as our response to be set free. In Jesus' name, amen.